Good morning. How is everybody this morning? I'd like to just start off today by taking up some prayer requests before we get started. If anybody's got a spoken request they'd like to share. Spoken with the uplift of a hand. If you would, follow those hands up. I'm going to ask Brother Ray to lead us out in prayer today.
Hopeless case, an empty place. I'm a hopeless case, an empty place. Thank God for grace.
Well, I've been turned round, but I've never been lost.
So I kind of got an easy one today, but it's been on me with a while. Subject that we're all familiar with, and I'm just going to try to bring a new view onto it if I can. And it's the perfected love of God. So I love when scriptures come together and you can just read them from different chapters and everything kind of lines up and you can see the story as a whole, the big picture view. So before I get into what I want to share, I'm going to read the scriptures that he laid on my heart. I'll tell you what they are, and then I'm just going to read it straight through. It's John 1 and 1, 1 and 14, Hebrews 4 and 15, and John 19, 28 to 30. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with the vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We start trying to see through the whole view of scopes. And I see Jesus everywhere I go with it. And his love just resonates. And it's from the beginning, before any of us were even around, before everything had settled, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here he was in perfection. He was in a place of contentment, full peace, didn't have any hardships, didn't have trials, didn't have things that he had to deal with. And he was in continued contact with the Father. So I put that in my view. I see my times with my dad. That was always a good place for me. I could, whether we were just sitting there watching MASH or running the roads, you couldn't send me and him out to get anything, because if we went to get it, it was going to be at least an hour to 2 hours before we got home. And we just enjoyed the time together. And I see Jesus as the Word sitting with the Father, enjoying the time, enjoying the companionship. And he chose to step out of that for us. As it says in 1 and 14, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on the sinly flesh and stepped out of that perfected world to do what he needed to do for us, to accept what we have. That time that you can't get back, sitting communion with the Father, it always built into, I picture it in my head, it always built into Jesus. It equipped him and strengthened him for what he was meant to do and what he was going to do for us. And look into it again, and as you read into different scriptures, he wasn't born into royalty. He didn't decide to come out of the perfected world and go into an easy life. He was born to Mary and Joseph. And he had to make a way in the world the same way we do, step by step, day by day. He had to grow up seeing the worst of the worst. And he was not in the best of places for that time. But people didn't look at that. You know, it wasn't the palace. He was born in a manger, humbled. He lowered himself so that we could approach him more easily. So with that, he had to deal with all of life's up and downs just as we do. And it was Hebrews 4 and 15. For we do not have the high priest that is unable to sympathize, but it always has dealt with everything that we've done. And that leads me into, you want to see that break down, you go into the temptation of God. And I didn't know I was going to read this, but I've got it pulled up here. We're going to read that just a little bit because it's meaningful when it's powerful. If I can get my phone to work. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him again, 'It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test.' Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you serve.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." So we can see right there, 40 days of fasting. Who's been on a long fast? We know why we fast, and we know how it helps into prayer, and we know where it moves us in our lives. But at the end of that fast, you're ready to eat what you haven't been. If you've fasted on meats, if you've done just the water fast, how you've been doing it, you're ready to have that back. So he had went 40 days, and he was out in the wilderness, and he was hungry. And the devil came to him in his weakest moment, and he said, "You are who you say you are. Turn that stone into bread, and you can have your food. You can make it better. You have the power, right? You can do it." I mean, it's felt like the devil's been on their back before, saying, "If you are a son of God, if you are a daughter of God, why not lean into it more? Where's your witness? How are you showing God?" And you find yourself in those weak moments where you're struggling. That's when he can come at you the worst, and he likes to, because he uses the same tricks over and over. Never worked against Jesus. We stand in the authority and the strength of Jesus. We shouldn't let it work against us. So he dealt with the same things we did. He dealt with hunger. He dealt with cold. And he dealt with... when I was reading into it, because when I've been fault, it was always, well, if you say you are a child of God, if you say you follow him and you believe him, are you showing it? And he said, you know, are you relying on his strength, or are you trying to do it yourself? And too many times we do try to do it ourselves, and we can mess it up. But as long as we're resting on God's plan and his authority, Satan ain't got a chance against none of us, because Jesus is before us. He's got that hedge of protection around us, and it's his authority above ours. So... Thank you.
those moments of frustration, anything is learning. You know what, folks? You are doing my best. So instead of, I've been doing my best, but that time when you get that news or that frustrating moment that, I'm sorry, he's not here today. Instead of being frustrated, Lord, what am I here to do? Why don't you bring me here today to do it? And I absolutely believe that that is part of our walk with the Lord. And if we can do those things, I think we can go.
So, as I broke this down, it was the 40 days of fasting and Satan coming to him then. That was the lust of the flesh, same temptations that we have to deal with. Then he took him and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world, offered him authority over all of it. And sometimes we can misconstrue that and say, well, Jesus is the rightful king. You can't offer him that. Satan was ruler of the world. So he had all right to offer that. It was his to give away. And Jesus, in the authority of God, used scripture against him and says, we're not right. This ain't how we're supposed to be. That was the lust of the eye. Same thing that we deal with daily. You can see it in different ways, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. So-and-so just got him a new car, or so-and-so just redone this to their house, or, you know, I'm trying to match up to what my friends are doing. And we're not meant to. We're meant to be of the world, or in the world, but not of the world. So we're supposed to stand apart, and they're supposed to look at us as that shining church on the hill. They're supposed to see a difference and a light in us, the same way that Jesus was demonstrating it here as he kept rebuking the adversary. And as he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, he said, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here, and the angels will save you. He was challenging him his identity there. He was challenging him who he thought he was. And that's pride of life. And his identity jumped out to me there. How hard is that in this day and age? The identity is trying to be stricken from who you are as a follower of God. Even the very identity of our kids are trying to be threatened by, oh, are you a boy or are you a girl? Are you what they say you are, or do you want to make your own choice? We are made in the image of God, and we are his projection. We were perfected by his will. So we are what God has made us. There's no way to change that. So he fought back on all those stages, and he told him, get behind me. Same way that he gives us the authority to say, get behind me. I'm standing on the love of God that has been placed in my life. I'm standing on his authority. You can't touch me. And it's through the perfected love of God that we can do that. It's only through God. The cross. John 19:28-30, as we read, that's where Jesus is on the crucifixion. Literally hanging. He's took on all of our sin. He's took on that debt that we couldn't pay to do it for us, to provide a way back to the Father. Here on the cross, if you read in Matthew 27:46, you can see an example. The first time my Savior fully felt pain. The lashes that he took for us, the sin that he laid on his own back, nothing. In this moment, when all of that had been laid on him and he took it and it fully settled, God had to turn his face from the Son for the first time. And he had to feel what we feel when we're lost, that disconnect. And that's how he truly connects to us, because he knows every hardship we had. He knows everything we've had to fight for. He knows how hard our lives have been, but he knows the pain of the separation. And he didn't want anybody to deal with that. So he bridged the gap. He made the way back to the Father by taking that sacrifice that we couldn't do, by clearing the way with his own blood, his own flesh being torn. And one of my favorite parts of the scripture is the veil. And it's at this moment too, you can see the veil is torn. In the temple, the veil is rent from top to bottom. And different ways to view it, but I see it not as allowing us access to the Father, allowing us access to the great Comforter. I see it as when it was torn, it allowed his spirit out of the captivity that it was in. So it could come out into the world, so he could come out into the world and dwell within his people, dwell with those that would call on his name, that would share his love, that would build in him. As the veil was torn, the great Comforter was released, and we had our connection back to the Father. And it was through the sacrifice and the love of Jesus on that cross, that old rugged cross, when he felt all the pain that you could ever imagine. Because up to that point, my Savior had always been connected to the Father, had never had that disconnect. Even when he stepped down out of the perfection and he took on flesh, he still had a connection to the Father. They were one and the same. But in this moment, there was a separation. And it caused him to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Still, he didn't give up. He didn't ask for the pain to stop right there. He says, your will. And he also, at the cross, he asked for forgiveness for those that were around him that were allowing this to happen to him. And that was anchored in the love of my Father. He said, it is finished. He never said, I am finished. He said, it is finished. And that word, it, jumps out to me because the prophecies were fulfilled for the time. The mission he had to walk the earth was over. The connections was rebuilt. The bridge was made. So he could rest from there and transition back. We know he died for us there, but all in 3 days he showed himself again, didn't he? He showed us the connection was still there. He showed us he was still working. He said, it is finished. But he left us with the promise that he's coming back. And he will never leave us. And he is living within us. As the veil tore, the Spirit came out. The Spirit lives within us. And we are a walking representation of our Father's love. That always sets hard to think of the pain that Jesus had to feel after knowing all the stuff that he'd endured for us to have that separation. Because we've all been there. We were lost at one point. We didn't know the Savior, but we knew something was missing. Something just didn't connect right. You knew there was more. So you were always longing for something. He felt that separation the same way that we have to. He did that for us out of his perfected love. As I look back at everything that he's laid out for me, that stood out the most, it. One little word. Didn't know how much that meant. So he laid it out. He said, it, not me. I'm coming back. I didn't leave you. I'm with you. I'll see you through. I'll strengthen you. I'll give you authority and I'll walk with you. I'll cause you to shine for others. I'll cause you to have their feelings. I'll give you the empathy so that you can connect with them as I connect it with others as I walk this earth. I'll let you know who you need to talk to. I'll let you know where I need to send you. And if you will listen and follow in my love, he said, if you will follow in his love, that he will make the way. And nothing can stand before us in this earth because we have God's authority behind us if we rest in his loving hands. You know, I don't mean to wrap things up real fast, but you share what God gives you and you move on. But the scriptures, the way they all lay together, as I read it, all is one in the beginning. It all ties together. It all builds. We can see it as it breaks down from scripture to scripture. As he gave up the ghost, and as he left the Father's side to begin with. And I see, share a little window of thought into my head. You guys want to take that trip? It can be scary. But when it says the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. I see a picture of Jesus standing there. The Father not coming to him and saying, "Hey, I need you to do this." He don't come to him and say, "Hey, you're the only one that can make this right. I need you to take this on." No, he's standing there. I picture him. God's looking down. Jesus says, "They're kind of messing this up, aren't they?" God says, yeah, they're messing it up. He says, "There's only one good way to fix that, huh?" God looks at him. He says, "We need a sacrifice. We need an atonement. And there's nothing there that's worth it. Will you send me?" See it. He says, "Will you send me?" Because he already had that love for us. He wanted us to know the depth of the connection that he had to his Father. And Scripture also tells us that we're not just heirs, but joint heirs. So it puts us at the same level. It's not saying my love for you is any different than my love for Jesus. It's saying I love you all, and I want to be with you all, and I want to see you all back to the home. I see my Savior saying, "Here I am, send me. I'll do that. I'll walk that road. I'll show them that it's possible. I'm strong enough in you. You and me together, we can show them what they're meant to be. We can show them what true love is. We'll walk that path. I'll build in them. I'll teach them. They'll share the word. I'll take on that pain and that death so that they have a bridge back to you." You can see it. If you look at it through the whole picture, his perfected love, he agrees at the beginning, volunteers, "I'm going to step out of this connection with you. I'm going to go do what I got to do, and I'll be back. I'm going to show them that I am connected to them because I've felt everything that they've felt. I've done everything they've had to do. I've lived that life from the lowest of lows to the highest of heights. And I can make the way if they will follow my steps." And then it all comes to the cross. And I can picture John standing at the foot of the cross, looking up at our beaten and battered Savior, just wondering, did it all have to happen this way? Yes, because it was the only way. And I put myself in that position. If I was there that day, if I was sitting at that cross, and I just see, as messy as it had to be, all I can see is the pure love that was in our Savior. I could imagine looking at his face and just understanding. Now, it's easy to say now because we've been in the scriptures. We've been able to see some of it. But just if you could go back to that time, I could see myself looking at him, saying that is pure love from start to finish. He agreed to step out away from the Father. He fought for life just as I fought. He built in others. He prayed for others. He felt the same temptations and the weaknesses that I felt. He made a way. He survived through it all until he decided to give up his life for us. Because it wasn't taken, it was given. And at the foot of that old rugged cross, we can see the pure love of God poured out as his blood stained the ground. And that is our deepest connection and what he gave me to share with you guys today under the perfected love of God. So he made a way. He lived as we lived. And you are not alone. The little tidbit that he allowed me to write is what I think was a closer. Jesus stepped out of eternity and divinity for you, lived to connect to and understand us, died to redeem us, and came back to give us a way back to the Father. All of this in his perfect and unending love for you. I'm going to invite you to take a little bit of time in worship and reflection before we transition to the next part of the service, because that's everything he wanted me to lay out. I'm not going to try to add to it. I'm not going to try to build past it. But I'd like to take some time to share in some worship, maybe come up around the altar and pray if you want to. Reflect on the love that God's placed in your heart. Reflect on what he's done for you. Dave, if you got some music.
My heart becomes free and my shame